Hello everyone, this is Deidre Stats and I'm filling in for Corinne this evening, who is still over finishing up with the wonderful MiracleShare virtual conference that's been going on all weekend. It's just been an incredible conference filled with so much wisdom and light from all the different teachers that have been sharing. And it's been so beautiful. So I encourage you all to go over to MiracleShare.org and check out, the lineup of teachers. And if you still want to, you can, make those resources available to yourself. Corinne has been very, very busy behind the scenes, so she asked me to facilitate tonight's call. And I'm very honored to do that. I'm very happy to be here with all of you. These calls every Sunday night are the highlight of my week, and I love being with you all. So it's an honor to be here, and I look forward to getting going. As we usually do, though, first of all, I want to drop in with Holy Spirit. So just closing our eyes for a moment, allowing ourselves to drop into the love and the light that we truly are, remembering that truth, and asking the Holy Spirit to be in charge of our call this evening. If we need a word, or we need a thought, or we need to open our minds to let more of that light into our awareness, we ask that that be so. And we're placing the Holy Spirit in charge at our request. Just so grateful for all of you and for Corinne starting these calls. When we strengthen these ideas as we go through A Course in Miracles, we strengthen them for all. So it's always such a blessing. And I'm really looking forward to tonight's reading. And I hope if anyone has anything to share that they feel moved to comment, please feel free to do so. So, the body will remain guilt's messenger and will act as it directs as long as you believe that guilt is real. For the reality is guilt of guilt is the illusion which seems to make it heavy and opaque, impenetrable, and a real foundation for the ego's thought system. Its thinness and transparency are not apparent until you see the light behind it, and then you see it as a fragile veil before the light. This heavy-seeming barrier, this artificial floor, which looks like rock, is like a bank of low dark clouds that seems to be a solid wall before the sun. Its impenetrable appearance is wholly an illusion. It gives way softly to the mountain tops which rise above it and has no power at all to hold back anyone willing to climb above it and see the sun. It is not strong enough to stop a button's fall, nor hold a feather. Try but to touch it, and it disappears. Attempt to grasp it, and your hands hold nothing. Yet in this cloud bank, it is easy to see a whole world rising, a solid mountain range, a lake, a city, all rise in your imagination. And from the clouds, the messengers of your perception return to you, assuring you that it is all there. Figures stand out and move about. Actions seem real, and forms appear and shift from loveliness to the grotesque, and back and forth they go, as long as you would play the game of children's make-believe. Yet however long you play it, and regardless of how much imagination you bring to it, you do not confuse it with the world below, nor seek to make it real. And I'm going to pause there. So, as long as we believe we are these bodies, we still are pumping belief unknowingly into that guilt, the idea of guilt, and with calling upon the Holy Spirit, which is the truth of us, that is what Jesus is talking about when he's letting us know of our true identity. That this dream world we think is so real that the Course is saying here, the dark clouds that seem to be a solid wall before the sun. And I just find that imagery so beautiful of the sunlight, because the sun is always there. That's what is really coming forward for me, is that even though it appears as though clouds and darkness are blocking the sun's rays are always there, shining just as strong and just as brightly as always. It's just that there's these illusionary clouds that seem to be present. I'm wondering if there's anything that is coming forward for anyone that they'd like to ask a question or share a comment.
I'll share, Deitri. This is Humaira.
Hi, Humaira. Great. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for hosting. Really appreciate these study groups, and I'm so grateful to all of you. I really do see a shift in my experiences since I've been, you know, doing this with you guys. And although I had been reading the course on my own and doing the lessons, it takes on a different, direction when you share it with others that are on the same path. And so I'm really grateful to you all. And with that said, I wanted to say, you know, I shared last week that a dear friend had died, and I kind of just followed what the directions were in our group last week about just being with it, looking at it with the Holy Spirit, and that really helped. And it's not that, you know, that sadness doesn't come up, but it's not the way it was. It's not that debilitating kind of sadness anymore. There's an awareness that there's something else going on, and maybe yet I'm not at the place where I really truly at a heart level believe that we're not bodies. There's an openness to the idea, which I'm grateful for. And it's so interesting. I feel like, Deitri, whenever I make like some headway, and then something happens and I have, like, I make 10 steps back. And, you know, I have a sibling that has drug alcohol addiction. And this is not something new. It's been ongoing for about 15 to 20 years now. And back and forth, you know, getting sober for a little while and helping him. And then he going back out again, and my reactions to him have definitely changed, in that I don't go into the, you know, deep fear that I used to go to. But I noticed, even like, so he was sober for a little bit, and then I knew just by his behavior that he had gone out again, and he was contacting me. And one of my prayers to the Holy Spirit has been, you know, help me. I don't know how to love. I thought I did. I don't know what that even means. Guide me to do that, and unconditionally, and to break all these patternings that I have, these conditionings that I have with people in my life, whether they be close relationships like a sibling or it be with my boss. You know, help me to see it from your eyes. Help me not to. And really, that has been my mantra, like, use me today, God. Show me how to walk, how to talk, how to be, you know. And I clearly don't do it perfectly, and I clearly fall, you know, all the time. But that's been the aspiration, the intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I got, and talking about guilt, I feel kind of guilty because, you know, I responded from conditioning to him. And though it wasn't as harsh as my previous times, but, you know, he had called, and whenever he goes into these spaces, it's always going back and rehashing the past and talking about it and what happened to us when we were kids. And I'm just so tired of that merry-go-round story. So he had called to sort of talk about that. And I said to him, I know that you have used, I can tell. And initially, of course, he tried to lie, and then he admitted, and then he still wanted me to answer this question. And I said, I can't talk to you right now. I got to go. Mm-hmm. And then I said it with anger. And then, of course, afterwards, I felt so guilty. And so I get confused because I'm trying to walk with God and be in love. And I know that, you know, I don't want to enable his behavior. At the same time, I don't want to respond with criticism and the same patterns, you know, the same patterns that I've always responded with. But yet, that's exactly what I did. And so I just kind of wanted to kind of say that to see what you thought, or if any of you had any direction, or if any of you had experiences with something like this, that you could give me some guidance, because your directions have been really helpful to me. Thank you.
Okay. Beautiful, Humaira. Thank you so much for opening up and allowing yourself to be, you know, vulnerable with us and sharing what's coming up for you. That's really huge. And I just want to acknowledge your awareness, because it's very clear that you have an awareness of what's going on, and you're watching yourself, and you are calling upon Spirit. You are, you know, very aware of how you feel, and when things feel out of alignment. And so that awareness, the fact that you have that awareness, is very, very huge. So I would encourage you not to overlook that. There's something that Corinne often says on the calls. I can hear her voice in my mind. She says, you have to be where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so it's also about practicing that compassion as you move through this, because we are going to still make judgments. There's a beautiful line in the Course, I might not get it perfect, but Jesus is talking about the fact that we will still have the tendency to make judgments in the mind. It's just that we have none that we would keep. We have none that we wouldn't hand over to Spirit for transmutation and repurposing in the light. So in that way, we can always be happy learners, because we're withholding nothing from Spirit. So we don't need to feel guilty, as long as we are taking everything and allowing everything to be our teacher. And it really sounds like you're doing that. So that's what's coming through for me. If anyone else has anything that they'd like to share, please feel free. Okay, I'll just ask before we move on, Humaira, do you feel complete in that, or is there anything else that you would like to say?
No, I think, you know, I just wanted to share where I was at and kind of just to share where I was at and to also express gratitude for.
Yeah. Beautiful. Again, I really just think it's because you've mentioned a few times tonight that you've observed your willingness to see things differently, and you're also observing what's coming up for you. And so those are wonderful. That's awareness that you're growing that you didn't have before. So that's beautiful. That's all we're asked to do, is to keep taking every experience, every seeming picture to Holy Spirit for repurposing. And so you're doing that, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing that and keep having the willingness to be gentle and compassionate with yourself when you feel like you've fallen short, because that's also another trick and trap of the fear voice, the ego voice. So
yeah.
You're welcome. So I'm going to keep on reading now. So should it be with the dark clouds of guilt, no more impenetrable and no more substantial, you will not bruise yourself against them in traveling through. Let your guide teach you their unsubstantial nature as he leads you past them, for beneath them as the world of light whereon they cast no shadows, their shadows lie upon the world beyond them, still further from the light, yet from them to the light, their shadows cannot fall. This world of light, this circle of brightness, is the real world, where guilt meets with forgiveness. Here the world outside is seen anew, without the shadow of guilt upon it. Here are you forgiven, for here you have forgiven everyone. Here is the new perception, where everything is bright and shining with innocence, washed in the waters of forgiveness, and cleansed of every evil thought you have laid upon it. Here there is no attack upon the Son of God, and you are welcome. Here is your innocence waiting to clothe you and protect you and make you ready for the final step in the journey inward. Here are the dark and heavy garments of guilt laid by and gently replaced by purity and love. Yet even forgiveness is not the end. Forgiveness does make lovely, but it does not create. It is the source of healing, but it is the messenger of love and not its source. Here you are led that God himself can take the final step unhindered, for here does nothing interfere with the love, letting it be itself. A step beyond this holy place, a step still further inward, but the one you cannot take transports you to something completely different. Here is the source of light, nothing perceived, forgiven, nor transformed, but merely known. And I'll pause there. Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful passage. So I'll just share what comes up for me when I first started studying the course. When I read things like there's a final step that you cannot take yourself, I was filled with a lot of fear, because for some reason it brought up you know, the idea that somehow I wasn't doing enough, or as a course student. Oh, we've got somebody
on the phone. All right, I will go ahead and end it. Oh gosh, I know.
Can someone? I'm hearing someone speaking. If you could mute yourself.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Just a reminder that everyone can mute their line by pressing *6. So if you are able to mute your line, we just had some background noise. So when you want to speak again, you can unmute your line by pressing *6 again. Okay, so I was just sharing that when I first began studying A Course in Miracles, and I would read Jesus giving directions about taking the final step, and it's not something that we can do alone. It brought up a lot of fear of inadequacy within me. And now when I read it today in my development, there's a lot of peace in knowing that I don't have to do it myself. I'm actually going to be carried. So I just wanted to share that because there's so much wisdom and grace within the Course, and you can read the same passages over and over, and each time glean a new wisdom from the same passages. But I'm just wondering if there's any specific passage that we just read that anybody has a question or comment or something that sticks out to them that they'd like to share.
Well, you said, Dietri, about your fear of God having last step, yeah?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the very first section of the text and the principles of miracles and principle number 7 that says, miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first.
Yeah.
My God, I recall this one that totally terrified me. Like purification, oh, that's it, I'm done, I'm busted. I remember my thoughts about this. And
yeah.
Only again because we have this unconscious guilt, right? We have been reading, you have been reading today, right? About
mm-hmm.
this cloud of guilt.
Yes.
So later when I understood the Course better, I have a website, acimnotes.com, where I post little notes to the very first section of the text, because it was so confusing to me when I first started reading it, and I decided to kind of maybe for someone who is a beginner. And so for this one, I wrote a little note, and I want to read it if you let me, Dietri.
Of course. Thank you so much for sharing, Igor.
Thank you. So miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fear not the images related to this world your memories have brought. Recall what author said in introduction. Removing blocks to love is Course's one concern. Yeah, in introduction, he said this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not in need of adding content to your mind. A sculptor's masterpiece is ready only when everything unnecessary is removed. Let all illusions be dispelled of you, and there is nothing left but love. So... So really, like this metaphor of a sculptor having a stone and removing everything unnecessary, yeah? So when we are not, you know, sacrificing anything to enter heaven, we are dropping off everything unnecessary only. So this guilt, this cloud of guilt is unnecessary. We don't want it. It's not like we have to do it because God wants us to. No, we don't want it. We feel bad when we are feeling guilty, right? We don't want it.
Yeah.
And God is not, blaming us, forcing us anything. He's just like it's like radio waves, another metaphor maybe. Radio frequencies. And God, for example, is at frequency 105 FM. Only love, only love. You cannot be there with anything, with any other frequencies. Yeah? While we are drifting and shifting from hate, anger, fear, la la la, right? All kinds of those emotions. Maybe sometimes we go up high to forgiveness, which is earthly form of love, as workbook lesson number 186 says. So maybe we are shifting and drifting, but we are on different frequencies, but we are not on this one constant stable frequency of love. Yes. So when we are dropping all these illusions, all this guilt that we think we have, and that allows us to go up high to the same frequency that God is, constant love, then this world transforms to a happy dream. This dream transforms to a happy dream, right? And then from the state of the happy dream, God is able then. Because if he would drag us out from here immediately, then we would not do it. We couldn't do it because we are not stable in love, right? Mm-hmm. We still have this sense of guilt. But when we are stable, when we have forgiven ourselves, our unconscious guilt, then we are stable in love, and that's how God can pull us out here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Igor. Thank you very much for sharing. As you were sharing your beautiful note there, what really came in my mind of awareness was that really what we're really learning is an unlearning rather than a learning. we're unlearning the conditioning of these identities that we think are so real, that feel so real, and think are, the real us, and we're allowing Holy Spirit to restore our memory of the truth of who we are and what we are. And as we do that, in my experience anyway, it becomes easier and easier to do. I'll give you a really brief example. I was fortunate enough to be part of the Miracle Share conference this year, in that for the first time I did a video where I talked a little bit about the topic of relationships and the healing of all relationships. But it was the first time I had ever recorded a video on a web camera. So when I did the whole, when I recorded the video, I witnessed all of these attack thoughts coming forward about how, old thought patterns that had, I thought that I had long gotten cleansed of or gotten rid of, in things like attack thoughts like you're not pretty, or all people are going to see is a woman who has physical challenges, or all these really, really vicious attack thoughts that were coming forward. And at the time that I recorded the video, it was a really emotional experience for me. Like, I didn't want to submit the video. I didn't want to be part of the conference, a lot of fear came up, and I didn't want to be seen as a body. I didn't want the projection of my body on the video screen to be seen by people, because I had an awareness that that projection is not the truth of who I am. So it was really quite an awakening experience. So as I do, I take everything to spirit now. So the slightest little bit of discomfort that I experience, I know right away this is an opportunity for forgiveness. And as soon as I was able to get quiet enough to hear the voice of love, to hear the voice of spirit within, I was given the very clear guidance that I was misperceiving and I was not seeing with my right mind, and that it was very important for me to submit the video, not worry about how it looked like, and just focus all my attention on extending that love out forward. So what transpired was really a miracle, because in the process of doing that video, I wrote a blog post, and I shared my whole experience, including the big huge upset, or what felt like a big huge upset to me, with another brother. And in that exchange, this brother explained to me that they had been very, very fearful of going on cameras of any type, didn't want to go on Skype, didn't want to go on YouTube at all. And because I had chosen Holy Spirit and chosen to go through the fear and submit my video and share my video, that this brother also wanted to do the same. But in addition to that, I was able to watch my video this weekend as part of a conference and not experience any of the attack thoughts that I originally had experienced when I was filming the video. So it was a really beautiful, shining example of how when we give everything over to spirit to be reconstituted and looked at, and we really surrender that and really give it over, there's nothing that spirit cannot repurpose. Because those attack thoughts that I had a moment where I was talking with a family member and I was in the throes of some pretty heavy crying and stuff, and to go from that to the amount of peace that I felt watching myself on the video and knowing and seeing and experiencing the love that was coming through the spirit of me in the words that I was saying, and not being focused on what the perceived errors or problems were, was nothing short of miraculous. So I just wanted to share that with you all, because it was really a moving experience. And as long as we're willing, the more we experience miracles and those shifts in perception for ourselves, because it is experiential, the greater our trust is in our true identity.
Hey. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey, I didn't realize I wasn't on mute earlier, so I'm sorry about that. I thought when I called in, it was on mute, and it wasn't on mute. Sorry. and then you're like, somebody's having background noise. I was like, oh, that was probably me. So I put myself on mute. I'm pretty busy. But I totally understand. I felt the same way about submitting a video, and I just started recording as well recently. But I've been so busy that I kind of stopped a little bit. But I agree with you completely. And I felt the same way, where I was like, well, for me, the block was, there's so many other people doing this. Like, what could I possibly contribute to it? That was kind of what my ego was telling me. Yeah. Just because, everybody can get there if they want to get there. So I kind of trick myself into thinking, well, that means I'm not really needed, like, I don't really need to do anything, which
right.
is true to a point. It's like a, it's an ego way of slipping in, like, a little bit of negativity, like, on the fly to me.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
say, oh, well, you don't need to, you don't really need to do that because they're going to find it anyways. They don't need you. You know, like, nobody needs you type feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of, like, I just felt the message because I was going to A Course in Miracles meeting, you know, like a weekly meeting, and I just really felt like, you know what, I do contribute, and it is worth trying to show that. It is totally worth it because everybody is going to hear it the way that they need to, and not everyone is going to hear it from everyone. You know, that's why we have different languages, because we've fragmented ourselves so in such an endless amount of ways that, you know, only certain people can hear things a certain way, and it's just like that because that's just the way it clicks for them, not mm-hmm. because they wouldn't still get there either way, but the whole purpose of the course really is to save time, because ultimately we're all going to get there. That's already been written. It's already over, but the purpose of doing this is so that we can be happy along the way.
Yeah.
And so that we can have the peace. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, and it did come up for me too, and I did almost not want to submit anything just because of that thought and not want to even try to do this at all because of that thought coming in. So, I mean, it comes in different ways, but the inadequacy is always from the ego, because the ego is always pointing out inadequacies.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for sharing. And I know that it came through really, really clear when I was going through the whole experience that Spirit was asking me to step up and be seen and simply extend the love that I am. And that has nothing to do with anything that the body's eyes can see. And I have an awareness of that. Not that I didn't before, but I was able to clear out a cloud that was in the way of that, and
mm-hmm.
so really beautiful experience.
Yeah. So yeah, I appreciate that everyone is having their own unique message, and that's one reason why doing like the conference is beneficial for me, is because I get to hear the same message in so many different ways that it's kind of cool. And it's like, oh, okay. And you can kind of see how this person relates it and that person. And it's always unique, even though, because ultimately just using language in general, you're already removed from truth, which really doesn't have all this uniqueness to it. But we're here and we're in these separated little bodies and having all this unique things going on. Like everything is really a miracle, you know, that we're seeing. So it's kind of cool to see how we're relating to truth in our own little unique ways, even though ultimately at the top end of it, there is no uniqueness. But on our end, it's like very, you know, unique. And that's kind of the cool thing about it. And that's really what we should be enjoying and appreciating.
Exactly. And what really came, I don't know if this came through in your experience, but what the fear voice or the ego perceives as an inadequacy, Spirit is actually saying, no, this is part of your gift. This is how you're showing up. So embrace that and celebrate
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah,
and
that's it. The uniqueness
yeah.
is special. It's special,
yeah.
but it's not like the specialness. It's actually just, it's your own unique way of being, and you have to embrace it, because it's like, what do they call it? Authenticity, being authentic. And
yeah.
once you can really stand in the authenticity of you, you're able to truly shine. Because it's like these, we both got these little filters, the way that we talk or the way that we walk, it's a little different than the next person. And instead of trying to completely conform, which is what we're kind of taught, that, you know, there's a certain way that we're supposed to look, or we just generally put ourselves down and look to someone else and try to be like them. So that's kind of
yeah.
what we're taught.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just going back to that authenticity of who we really are like in our own little unique way that really allows us to shine through and to actually shine the light of God, because that's why we're here, for our complete unique little way. We've chosen that for whatever reason. We've chosen to be this unique little way.
And there's nothing to fix, really. We are already that expression of love and that extension of love. There's nothing to fix or change or manipulate
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yeah.
We are perfect children of God. So
yeah.
It's just the only difference is our belief that we're not. So that was a really huge part of this whole thing, is that, wait a minute, look at your belief that you think that you're not already perfect as you are. And that is the belief that needed to be uprooted again and looked at again with spirit. And it was just...
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's kind of that authenticity that you kind of get to, because you're like, wait a minute, we tend to think that if we're authentic to who we are, that something is now wrong, and so we must try to be something that we're not, even
right.
though like we just make it up completely. Like maybe you're short, and so you decide I need to be taller and wear heels, or your hair is curly and I want to have straight hair, or vice versa. It's always something there that we're trying to strive for that's like the opposite of what we are, and it's just the means of finding an adequacy that the ego will do. The ego kind of sneaks
yeah.
that in. Totally.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hi, Deidre. It's
Hi.
Meg.
Hi, Meg.
How are you doing? Hi,
I'm
everyone.
Good.
Sorry I'm late.
No worries.
Thank you.
Did you have something you wanted to share, or you just wanted to say hi?
I just want to say hi because I just logged on.
Okay.
And I'm kind of late, so I'm listening. So I'm
okay.
listening.
We're happy that you're here. Thanks, Meg.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, so I'm going to continue reading now. So the next paragraph is the passing of the dream. So the Course will lead to knowledge, but knowledge itself is still beyond the scope of our curriculum. Nor is there any need for us to try to speak of what we must forever lie beyond words. We need remember only that whoever attains the real world beyond which learning cannot go will go beyond it in a different way. When learning ends, there God begins. For learning ends before him who is complete, where he begins and where there is no end. It is not for us to dwell on what cannot be attained. There is too much to learn. The readiness for knowledge still must be attained. Love is not learned. Its meaning lies in itself. And learning ends where you have recognized all it is not. That is the interference that is what needs to be undone. Love is not learned because there never was a time where you did not know it, not. Learning is useless in the presence of your Creator, whose acknowledgement of you and yours, of him, so far transcend all learning that everything you learned is meaningless, replaced forever by the knowledge of love and its one meaning. Your relationship has been uprooted from the world of shadows, and its unholy purpose has been safely brought through the barriers of guilt, washed with forgiveness, and set shining and firmly rooted in the world of light. From there, it calls you to follow the course it took, lifted high above the darkness and gently placed before the gates of heaven. The holy instant in which you were united is but the messenger of love from beyond forgiveness to remind you of all that lies beyond it. Yet it is through forgiveness that it will be remembered. And I'll pause there.
Do you read?
Yes.
Hey, can you say that last part again? I don't have the book in front of me about forgiveness, remember.
Okay, let me just see. Forgive, okay. The holy instant in which you were united, the holy instant in which you were united is but the messenger of love sent from beyond forgiveness to remind you of all that lies beyond it. Yet it is through forgiveness that it will be remembered. And B is in capital letters.
Mm. Wow.
So it's emphasized.
That's interesting. I've been asking the question, okay, I've forgiven, and then now what? And I don't know if this totally relates, but this is just what came to my mind. You know, as I am looking through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, attempting to, and sometimes, you know, succeeding, other times not so much. Something that there's a part in the course where it talks about there's a point of recognizing where forgiveness is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, like, God is never, for instance, God is never holding anything against us. So really the idea of forgiveness is, you know, a terminology necessary and relevant for what we need in our, you know, just for perspective. And I had this instance where I felt just so whole and so connected but separated at the same time from kind of some things that were going on around me. And there was a woman who was an older woman, and I was trying to help her, you know, just do something. And she wouldn't say anything to me. And I, you know, at another time in my life, I would have taken it very personal. I would have assumed all kinds of ugly things about her as well as myself, particularly, maybe it's because I'm Black, you know, maybe it's because I'm young, maybe it's because, you know, all the stuff that we come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have this feeling like whatever it is, it's okay. And mm-hmm. I didn't feel this need like I had to forgive her, because it didn't even, whatever frustration that I had was so fleeting that it just didn't even, it didn't warrant forgiveness because I wasn't holding on to it. And that being said, the peace that I experienced was just so vast and so rich and deep. And I found myself, you know, going throughout the day looking for opportunities to sustain that peace. And I'm just reminded of how the Holy Spirit says, I mean, how the Course talks about the peace and the happiness and the joy, you know, on the other side of, you know, letting go of our egos. And it was just, I just can't even, it was just the peace, it just, I thought, wow, I want more of this. Oh, and you know how the Course says, once you get a glimpse of it, you don't want to go back. You might go back temporary, but there's no way ever in life I'm committing. There's no way you can just get glimpses
many, many glimpses of peace of mind that way, and stay in the ego mind forever, you know. And so that's just what came up for me just now.
Beautiful, beautiful. What's really coming forward for me just listening to what you've shared, Alicheva, is when the Course talks about, you know, all is forgiven, in that sense, you know, there is nothing to forgive because love knows nothing of anything that the ego thinks that it's made up. It doesn't exist for from love's perspective. So in another sense, you know, when we're looking at all of these things that feel so that we've made so real in the mind, it's all about learning that none of what we've made real has actually become real. We need to be where we're at, of course, with whatever it is that we're experiencing. You know, I'm not suggesting that we go around saying it's all an illusion, because that's not helpful when something feels really real. But there's also another sense of real deep comfort in knowing that this has already all happened already, and all is forgiven anyway. So mm-hmm. the more that we step into that knowing, and it sounds like you had a moment of just knowing that all is forgiven, there's nothing to forgive. And it's coming to that recognition that, you know, what I think my brother did didn't actually occur. The Course actually talks about that, is that that's true forgiveness, is the recognition that what I think has been done to me or that I did not occur at all. So, yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for adding on that. That makes so much sense. That's exactly what it felt like, and it has me wanting more peace, because it can be exhausting to hold on to these ugly thoughts and perceptions about myself or the world or hang-ups, and to finally begin to a point, at least in some areas, to where it's releasing, it's starting, it just feels like I feel so refreshed and more confident and just more peace, and a lot of things that I was initially kind of mad at the Course about. And it's interesting you brought up the illusion part, because I was pissed for a very long time, because I felt like the Course was telling me, you're stupid, everything you see, it's not real. I'm like, yes, I do see this, I do feel this, how dare you tell me it's not real? And I was pissed off for a long time. But just, I'll say this last thing, I know we have to go. When I have these little glimpses of just peace and wholeness, it makes me say, okay, the things in the Course that don't yet make sense to me, I'm going to try it anyway, do the exercise anyway, I'm going to read it anyway, meditate on it anyway, because now I'm seeing over and over and over again that whether I believe it or not, change happens when you apply the teachings of the Course.
Oh, beautiful.
Can I ask a question?
And
yeah,
yeah, I
the question I was asked, the question I wanted to ask you was, when you were in that moment where you just had peace and joy and happiness, mentally, if you recall, if you remember, were any of your stories there? Meaning all of what you equate as you
and the memories of you and the hurts of you, and was any of that there?
I was aware of it, you know, so I could feel the sensation that says it's because of this reason or that reason, or, you know, so it was, but the truth in that moment, for whatever reason, the truth resonated more deeply, and so I was able to just relax. And I want to say this is what was interesting. I didn't feel a need to try and, one, I didn't hold anything against her, but I also didn't feel the need on my end to try and prove to her that I was worthy. I just simply, you know, helped her in a way that I was attempting to help her, mm-hmm. And just, you know, let it go. But yeah, the stories were there. It was mm-hmm. like the stories were the background, and mm-hmm. in that moment, the Holy Spirit was in the front ground. And
you said the Holy Spirit was able to what?
The stories were in the background, and the Holy Spirit, in that moment, for whatever reason, was in the front. I don't always experience that, but I, you know, I have been more recently. But so, okay. Yeah, I'm just saying they were there, just not ruling me.
Okay, so they weren't as loud?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and or the feeling of the Holy Spirit was more present, was deeper.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that question.
Oh, yeah.
I like what you said. This girl, what's your name?
Elishava. Shiva for short.
Shiva, wow, Shiva. I have a Vedic background, so it's a huge name there. Thank you. So what you said earlier, that how dare you tell me this is not real, right? And I agree, totally agree. Like, how can you tell me this is not real? I do see this, and this feels totally real to me. But I think what Jesus wants us to ask ourselves is this very simple question. Do we like it? Is it something that we would want to keep? Right? Because he asks a simple question, do you want to be right or happy? Right? So,
oh, wow.
So yes, we may see this, we may see perceive it as totally real, but again, do we like it? Because what motivates you to, when you were describing the situation, when you felt uncomfortable, right? You started, you know, analyzing why she did this woman to you, right? What motivated you to enter the holy instant, to ask the Holy Spirit, right, to do all this, is the sense of unhappiness, right? What motivated you was desire to be happy instead of feeling unhappy, right? Instead of feeling bad, you wanted to feel good, right?
Yeah.
And this is the only motivator, because really, God's will for me is perfect happiness. Lesson 101. Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It feels like a good place to stop for this week. Can't believe the call went so fast. Corinne will be back next week, and we will pick up right where we left off. So I look forward to seeing you all. Have a beautiful, blessed week. And lots of love.
Thank you,
all.
You Deirdre.
Thank you, Deirdre, for leading today's session.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
God bless you. Bye-bye.